Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song.
Know that the Lord is God, our Maker to whom we belong. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name.
Good indeed is the Lord, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 9. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon of the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, now give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when summer arrives in Minnesota, we want to soak it all up, right? The sunshine, the warm weather, the freedom from ice and snow and sleet. So summer often becomes a time to unplug from everything and let go of routines. But in today's reading from Matthew, Jesus says, not so fast. We've got work to do. Jesus is the ultimate teacher. He says, watch me, and then now it's your turn to go out and do the same thing. The command he gave on that day to the disciples was this: cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Come on, Jesus. Can't you start off with something a little smaller? That's what I want to say. Are you kidding? You expect us to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons? What would the world look like if the primary ways in which we imagine how to follow Jesus were those four imperatives? Distilled, it seemed like two acts of discipleship, according to Matthew, are bubbling to the surface: healing and liberation. Little did these disciples know when they met Jesus while fishing how their lives would be changed forever, that their vocation of fishing would be changed to that of fishing for people. When we think about evangelizing, that is spreading the good news of Jesus, I think we get caught up in this idea of going door to door and telling our story of Jesus. For some of us, it seems a little overwhelming or awkward. Well, that's one way to do it. But there are other ways to do that too. Jesus provides some pretty simple instructions on what it would mean to be a disciple. And it means bringing healing and liberation to the world. If that sounds daunting to you, you're not alone. How in the world would we lights out, there are children and families in need of food for the summer. Neighbors Inc. is bombarded with requests for groceries. Feed them, Jesus says. At the Capitol, there are various groups of people rallying for workers' rights and a fair and living wage. Jesus says, liberate the poor. Around the world, there is violence in London, in Syria, and elsewhere. Heal them, Jesus says. And right here in our city, there are people, especially people of color, who fear for their very lives every time they step out the door because the color of their skin or their religion or other differences that they show to the world. Wherever there is brokenness and pain, wherever there is need and heartache, wherever there is discord among neighbors and friends, that is where Jesus calls us to be. Now, I heard a story on The Moth. Any of you listen to The Moth Radio Hour? It's great stories if you love storytelling. And I heard one yesterday that was focused on Father's Day. It was a story of Karan Chopra and his family. Karan grew up, he was born in India and then moved to Ghana as a young boy. He was away at college when he received a phone call that his father had suddenly died of a heart attack. So Karan hopped on a plane and went to Ghana to be with his family. Since Karan was born in India, his family had immigrated to Ghana when he was a boy. It still did not quite feel like home to him. His father had moved them there to get a good job in a factory where he could manage this manufacturing plant. It was an important job that actually made a huge difference in the quality of life for their family. But it meant that his father worked a job 6.5 days out of the week. So growing up, Karan had a sense that he never had enough time with his father. As a young adult, there were questions that he had about his own father's childhood, about how to become a man. But all those questions were left unanswered as his father died so untimely. As Karan and his family arrived at his father's funeral, there were several co-workers of his who arrived. And they started telling stories to Karan about his father. One man said, I have a home because of your father. See, he hired this man to work in his manufacturing plant and then gave him a personal loan to buy a home, something that is very rare, very difficult to do without him. Another woman approached Karan and said that she was new to the country, and when she had arrived, that Karan's father had arranged for homemade meals to be delivered to she and her family every evening for 3 months, because he knew what it was to be an immigrant, and to be lonely, and to feel lost, and to need to be welcomed. Through these strangers, Karan began to understand his father's devotion to his work, and that for him, it just was not about a paycheck, but about healing and liberating the community. If we are to take discipleship seriously, then we must not be afraid to do the same thing. We must take this command from Jesus seriously. It is an imperative to heal and liberate a world that is so desperate for it right now. Jesus left us, the followers of Jesus, with this task. So I ask you today, how will the world know us? How will the world know and be able to recognize the presence of God in this world if not through our own actions? How will they know us and Jesus, the Christ, if not through our love? Do you remember that song? They'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians. if we are to be his disciples, then we must be in the business of healing, of liberating, of visiting prisoners and setting them free. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. This world will try to silence the truth of God's healing intention for this world. But we cannot let us be stopped from that task. Because look around, and it's easy to see. This world is in need. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. This week, as we go out into the world, as we go back to our routines of our daily lives, is our task then to take notice. Who is hurting? Who is silent and needs to be heard? Who is absent that needs to be included? Look around you right now and see who is not here, to your left and to your right. Who is not here with us? Who needs to be welcomed? How will this world know us? They will know us by our love, by our courage, by our honesty.